Next case, and we thank you, Mr. Koenig, also for your very good argument. Next case for argument is Sekich versus Gonzalez. Mr. Sharma Crawford, I'm sorry. Yes.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is William Sharma Crawford, and I represent the petitioners Ketzer and Blerta Sekich. Your Honors, in this matter, the immigration judge found that the testimony was credible, that the documents themselves presented by the petitioners supported that testimony, and the documents too were credible. He found that there was subjective fear of persecution in Albania, and only found that there was not objective fear of being persecuted in return to Albania.
Now, the conditions in Albania have changed considerably, haven't they? I mean, in other words, the Democratic Party's back in power, for example.
I think the question of the Democratic Party is one of contention. There is a Democratic Party back in power, and I believe at this point the political landscape of Albania is a confusing morass of people switching sides and taking power. To say that the petitioner's Democratic Party is in power, I don't believe is correct. I believe there are several people calling themselves Democratic Parties because it seems to curry favor from the international community. And so that seems to be the way to now identify themselves depending on whoever's in charge. And whoever's in charge still uses the police as a whip against anybody that disagrees with them. And so to that end, that aspect of Albanian politics hasn't changed. Whoever's in charge uses the police as a weapon against anybody else that rises up against them. So there may be a different party in power, but I don't believe it's any better a landscape.
For Mr. Sisa?
Yes, ma'am. He, in fact, called to
make sure. How does your client clients pronounce their name?
It's Ketzer and Blerta, and I'm afraid I'm at a loss for the last name. It is not Sekich as I pronounce it, but I unfortunately have gotten myself into that habit. And so they smile accommodatingly and allow me to continue in that vein. Okay.
You know, in the brief, it said that the IJ had ignored evidence that Mr. Sekich's political beliefs were the reason for the persecution that he experienced. What evidence in particularly were you referring to?
Well, the immigration judge seizes upon the 1998 arrest and beating by the police and says there's some validity to that. That singular event may not rise to persecution. And that shortly following that arrest, the petitioner is approached on the street by a person he describes as the crazy socialist who fires a gun near his head. And the immigration judge says, well, you can't show what that is. But yet the personage of whom that person is with the gun, that it follows his arrest and beating on a political matter, and that it causes petitioner to depart the country, mm-hmm. lends credence to the fact that that act does have political import.
The temporality
and its place in that chain. It causes him to flee to Greece. He lives in Greece for 2 years and meets and marries his wife and returns and again enters into politics. And then there is a cascade of events in 2001 when he begins to run for office in a particularly socially strong stronghold in Albania. And he's held in custody by the police of his own hometown who refuse to identify him and release other people who don't have identity documents and hold him longer, ostensibly in his belief, because he is a political candidate in that hometown. The IJ overlooked or declined to address that holding as being significant. Well, that doesn't mean that it was for political reasons, but yet he was, as he described, the only political candidate being held, as other people who were not necessarily politically active, who were in a similar situation, not having their identity cards, were released. It took him longer, so he was being held and detained longer by law enforcement. The threatening phone calls, again, they were anonymous, but again, like the socialist, they were temporaneous with his political activity, his detention, and then ultimately the kidnapping of his brother. Again, the immigration judge dismissed that piece to say, well, you can't show that that was politically active, and it's not necessarily tied to anything else, and you don't know who did it. This court's recent decision in Girazi, there was a kidnapping as well, and the petitioners in that matter were able to say, these two people are who we believe kidnapped the child, and they had to ransom him. In this case, there was no ransom paid. The child was found.
Was that an Albanian case also?
Yes, Your Honor. That decision came out of this court in January 30th, 2006. In this case, they found the young boy, and the young boy carried a message to say, my kidnapping was a result of your political activity. But yet that was overlooked. An asylum case is like a mosaic. You can't pick pieces out of the mosaic and go, well, it doesn't look like these pieces that I've taken out of that mosaic don't look like a duck. If you put them all back and it does resemble a duck, it takes away from the magic or the art that is that mosaic or the truth that is contained within an asylum case. So to pick and choose what you wish and then to ignore 2 years of country reports, both by the State Department and by the Amnesty International, which indicate that the police are used as a weapon for persecution, steps against the Supreme Court's decision in Zacharias, which indicates that the record must be considered as a whole. Now, this court as well in Girazi said that a well-reasoned, documented, and complete analysis that engages the evidence presented is what's required. And that's not what was given in this matter. The immigration judge sought to disbelieve him because of the country and condition reports that's put on by the State Department that are not well accessed and usually presented at trial, which indicate, well, there's more crime than anything else in Albania. It's not necessarily all the political activity breaks down to blood feuds or criminal activity. And so to that end, it appears that the immigration judge sought a reason not to grant this matter, despite credible testimony, despite credible documentary evidence that tied themselves together and were supported by the independent authority contained within the country reports and the Amnesty International reports. It appears that it was just a decision not to grant. There doesn't seem to be a well-reasoned... there were specific reasons given not to believe, but they were specifically to say, well, this one piece of the mosaic doesn't fit, so we'll set that aside, and this piece doesn't fit. The shooting is not politically motivated, so that doesn't count. The phone calls were anonymous, and we can't tie them to anything, so that doesn't count. You didn't take them as a whole to present them and look at the picture they portrayed. And so to that end, the decision is flawed and substantial.
Is this one of the cases in which the Board of Immigration Appeals just had one member as the appellate tribunal?
This is a summary affirmance, yes, Your
Honor. One judge.
One judge and a summary affirmance. We agree with the immigration judge below. They fail to take into account there is substantial evidence that was overlooked by the immigration judge. So that standard is available to overturn that decision and remand it for examination, to look at this record as a whole, to examine it as a whole and give it the weight and credibility that it's due. When you have a case...
You mean there's evidence that he didn't discuss it at all? Or?
I believe it was more that he just simply dismissed it offhand. He picked, not unlike taking the evidence that was presented to him in testimony and dismissing pieces to say, this individual piece can't stand alone, so therefore it's no good. He picked and chose from the asylum documents and the country reports to say, well, here's one that says the government is changing. So that overrides the two State Department reports, which indicate for pages and pages that the police are used as a weapon, and they continually beat and falsely imprison political activists. And to say that that there are changes in the judicial system and there are new laws, and that makes a difference now and overrides the persecution that occurred, is ludicrous, and is a miscarriage of the system wherein people come before a court and present evidence and describe oftentimes terrible things that occur to them. To be dismissed out of hand so blithely is distressing.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Scott?
May it please the Court. I think contrary to counsel's argument that the IG did not consider the evidence that was presented at the petitioner's hearing, the IG actually did go through all of the five incidents.
Yeah, some of it is a little goofy. I was struck by where the immigration judge, page 8 of his opinion, said, the respondent failed to establish that the socialist fired his gun close to him on account of his political opinion. I don't understand that. Is the notion that the socialist, is it something in socialism that causes people to fire guns close to heads, or what?
Well, I think what he, if you go back to the record, what he meant is that the petitioner failed to show any evidence that the individual that fired the gun near his head was actually connected to the government or was a police officer or was actually put up to do that by a police officer.
No, that's a separate point. That's a separate point. The question is the motive of this socialist. And isn't it logical to assume from the timing, as Judge Rovner said, that the socialist, this guy, was politically motivated, not necessarily, you know, put up to it by the police, but that's why he picked this fellow's head to shoot a gun next to, rather than another pedestrian or whatever.
Well, I think the petitioner has to show that it was politically, that it was actually beyond that the individual was political. That he had a
Well, how would he show that other than by the timing? What would he depose the socialist or what? What would you suggest?
I think as this court has held before, that he has to show some sort of circumstances or the context.
Well, he did. He showed some timing. What else could he show realistically?
He could show that perhaps there were comments that were made by the individual that linked him to...
Well, I think firing a gun next to a person's head is a pretty eloquent comment. I'm not sure you would expect him to embellish it with words.
You see, one flaw in Mr. Sejas' case that the IJ cited was his inability to identify who his persecutors were. I'm wondering if it is the government's position that the law demands that he be able to identify them, even if other circumstances permit an inference that, for instance, in this case, that the attacker was affiliated with the Socialist Party and that the purpose was to silence him.
Well, I think with respect to our position, one, it's contained to the facts of this case. And our position with respect to this case is that the petitioner failed to not only identify, but to present any evidence that the incidents were connected.
But think of it in commonsensical terms. Someone comes up to you and he shoots a gun next to your head. You know he's a socialist. That seems to be conceded. You're a Democrat. You know the socialists hate the Democrats, and you know that there have been a lot of persecution of that. We've had a lot of these cases. So doesn't it stand to reason that this was politically motivated?
But the connection is if it was sanctioned by the government.
That's a separate point. The first question is, was this a politically motivated act? The next question is, is the government somehow implicated in this? Right? Those are separate questions. But isn't it pretty clear that it was politically motivated, this assault? Don't you want to concede that?
With respect to the individual firing a gun, I think you could concede that it was motivated, that they were part of a different party.
Well, then if we thought that the evidence supported an inference that the persecutors were affiliated with the Social Party, wouldn't it logically follow that a remand would be in order?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because if you look, again, going to the second point, that the petitioner failed to present any evidence that while this person was from a different political party, that it was that the government put him up to it or refused to do anything about the actions. I think that one of the pieces of evidence that the IG considered were the reports, and in the reports it stated that while there is violence still among different individuals, there isn't any evidence as of 2001 that people were specifically targeted because of their political
positions. After having a socialist point a gun at your head and shoot, how long should you wait to see what will happen? I mean, like, how long should you just sort of stick around? Do you wait for a second incident, or what would be
the
scenario?
Court has, in other cases, the court has held that you have to look to a pattern. And I think in this case, the petitioner fails to present a pattern that would rise to powerful and moving evidence that he was being persecuted because of his political beliefs. I think that's especially demonstrated by the fact that when he left in 1998, he returned to Albania on two separate occasions, one for a visit and one to get married.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It's your country. You hope things are improving. And he was all right, I guess, from then until 2001 with the kidnapping. But do you agree, though, that if the immigration judge's analysis of past persecution was inadequate, then if there was past persecution, then the burden shifts to the DHS to show that there's no well-founded fear of future persecution, because this opinion places that burden on him, right?
Well, the petitioner has to show that there's reasonable evidence, objective evidence, that he has a fear, and I think
I thought that if he proves past persecution, the burden shifts to the government to show that he has no well-founded fear of future persecution. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
But that wasn't done here because the judge said that he failed to demonstrate, the respondent failed to demonstrate either past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution. So that's not an alternative ground for upholding this decision. That he failed to demonstrate fear of future persecution.
I'm not sure
I'm not being clear.
I've understood.
If we disagree that there's enough here to support the immigration judge's finding of past persecution, of no past persecution, we don't have the alternative ground, do we, of no fear of future persecution, because that would be the government's burden.
Correct, Your Honor. However, there was evidence presented at the hearing that based on the country reports and the reports submitted by the Department of State, that today that the petitioner would not have a basis to still fear persecution because of the changing environment in Albania. I'm sorry.
But the immigration judge didn't find that the government had carried its burden on that proof, on that issue, because it put the burden on...
Well, he didn't find that because he didn't feel that the petitioner actually passed the first point. So I think it was appropriate that at that point he could stop his analysis, because he didn't find, based on the evidence at the testimony, as well as the reports, that he did not meet that burden.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Scott. So, Mr. Sharma Crawford, does he have any more time? 1 minute? Do you have anything further? Do you have anything further?
Briefly, Your Honor, if I may.
Sure.
Your Honor's question was, if you found that in disagreement that Mr. Sakaj, the petitioners, had made past persecution, did the government have to show future persecution, and where was that burden lie? We would argue that that's best done at a remand at the hearing to allow both sides to air their issues. We would feel, however, and we didn't argue because I followed the decision of the judge, that past persecution has been met. When you look at this objectively with a common sense view and look at the timings of the events, past persecution has existed, and the country reports don't show future persecution. And with the government constrained to show the evidences that exist at the time and that existed there, they would be unable to meet that burden. And so that the error was existent throughout the trial. And I would agree, or it would be my position, that future or past persecution has been met. But secondarily, if not, then a subjective fear has already been acceded by the immigration judge. And an objective fear, the objective fear of persecution only requires supportive testimony, valid, credible documentary evidence to support the position, and that was met. So in either scenario, the petitioners did meet their burden of a fear of persecution upon return. And thank you for the extra
time. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Charles Clifford and Mr. Scott.
Thank you.
The next case